I tell you what, that about get you fired up, won't it? Huh? Wasn't that good? I know what she's, you know, I thought one time she's going to call my name saying about me, you know about the prison and know about the chains and shackles, but I've been freed. Been freed. And we're going to talk a little bit about prison this morning, talk a little bit about chains and shackles. I don't know. We didn't plan this. I didn't know she was going to sing that, but God did. And she didn't know what I was going to preach, but God did. And, you know, it just kind of matches and mixes. And I don't know how many went out here. It looked like about 20, 25, you know. Y'all are doing well. Let me tell you what, if you don't want children around here, don't drink the water. That's all I can tell you. Just don't drink the water, you know, because it seems like they're multiplying pretty quick. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I want to look a few verses of Scripture this morning. I've had a few things on my mind. You know, I don't know. Most everybody's here is Carolyn, how about drop that air down a degree or so? It's going to get hot in here. I can already tell, can't y'all? Huh? It may get wound up in here and get warmed up just a little bit, and I don't know what I had it set on this morning, but we need to drop it down a little bit and get everybody comfortable. Most everybody here can remember playing checkers. Did y'all all play checkers? Most everybody? Well, I don't know. Nate's from Michigan. They may not have checkers up there. They got hockey pucks up there, right, Nate? You know, but most everybody down here in the South, I think, could rely and relate to playing checkers. You know, I used to play with my grandmother. And if you beat her, bless your heart, because I'm talking about she was good and she meant to win. And I've thought a lot about that last night. I thought about a checker game, you know, we was having. And I was getting a little bit the best of her, and she just turned the board over. She didn't let you win. But, you know, when you play checkers, you know, you'll make your move. And then the person sitting across the board, they make their move. And it goes in turns, you know, taking turns. And I want to talk about some moves that Herod made. And I want to talk about some moves that God made, you know. And we can relate this back to checkers. And then hopefully by the end of this service, you'll hear the word of God, get under conviction, and it'll be your move. It'll be your move. Look with me, if you will, Acts chapter 12. And I'm going to start in verse 1 there, Acts chapter 12, verse 1. And we're going to talk a little bit. Kristen was singing about the chains and the shackles, you know, and they fell off. That's what Jesus can do. Jesus can set you free from all these things. And we're going to get into that too, maybe. In Acts chapter 12, in verse 1, it said, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." And so we get into this situation, you know, they were against the Christian movement. They were against Jesus. You know, they would admit, well, maybe he's a prophet, but they could not bring themselves to say, yeah, he's the Son of God. You know, he's the Savior of the world. And so Herod, you know, this is going against what he wanted to talk about and what his politics, I guess you'd say. And so it said he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And then he took Peter also. And it talks about them were the days of unleavened bread. In verse 4, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." And so he was trying to please the people. It sounds like a lot of politicians I know this day and time. They're about pleasing people, you know, whether it's right or wrong. He wasn't getting into that, but he saw it pleased all the people. So he put Peter down in prison and delivered him to this four quarters of soldiers. And they're going to put him in chains and shackles. And, you know, I got thinking about old Herod probably leaning back, and he probably got feeling real good about himself. Could you see him leaning back in his throne and saying, "I got him. I got him, you know. I've took care of this. I've killed James, and I've also got Peter locked up there in jail. And so I've got him, and I'm winning all this time." And so thinking about this checker game, I'm telling you, Herod had made his move. Amen? He had made his move. And then when we go farther in there, verse 5, it said, "But Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of him unto the church unto God for him." And so Herod made his move, and now here the church is making their move. You know how checkers work. Herod moved, then the church moves, and then God's going to step in and move in just a few minutes. But when you start thinking about the situation we're facing this day and time, when they had him locked up, had him down in prison, had him delivered to all these soldiers, you know, they wanted to make sure. And Herod probably feeling good about things, and he's thinking, okay, I've made my move, and it's a winning move. But he didn't account for the power of God because the church began to pray. Now, I'm going to preach to you this morning that prayer of the church makes a difference in a lot of situations. I could come through some of you back here and tell you, without prayer, you wouldn't have made it. Without prayer of the church, you just couldn't have got through it. And so when we start looking at this situation, I'm thinking about this checker game going on. Herod makes his move. The church makes their move. And so it goes on in verse 6. "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and a keeper before the door kept the prison." Now, Herod has done all within his power to make sure that he is fast and sure in prison. He's got him sleeping between two guards. And I'm thinking about Peter. He's laid down and went to sleep. He's probably resigned himself to say, "Well, you know, Herod's in charge, and Herod's got me down here in prison. Herod's got me locked up in chains," and all these things. And I began thinking about the power of God that was going to be demonstrated because the church prayed. Now you're saying, "Well, God knows all about everything." Yeah, He does. And I think He likes to hear it sometimes from the church. Don't y'all? You know, I don't talk to my son and daughter every day, but I like to hear from them. Don't y'all? You know, I don't talk to my daughter Jamie too often because we fuss a little bit. Me and her ain't got the same values, I guess you'd say. She said, "I'm out of touch." Praise the Lord. I am. If this world's right, then I'm out of touch. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? You know, she said, "I'm behind the time." Praise the Lord. But anyway, I don't talk to her, but I listen to her talk to her mama. And they talk, and I love hearing from her, you know. And I think God's like that. He likes to hear from His church sometimes. You know, He likes to hear from them. And I got thinking about Herod. You know, he's feeling good about himself. He said, "I've got it. There's no way out of this. There's no way he can get through any of it." And so Herod made his move. And then the church made their move. And their move brought on another move. And that was from God. And so when we start talking about the church praying, I'm telling you, it could bring a move from God. In verse 7, and it said, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell from off his hand." And so now we've got Herod's move in checker game, you know, game of life. We got Herod's move, then we got the church's move. Now we got God's move. And I want you to notice, where was this angel? He is right down there in the prison with Peter. And this is a representation of the power of God. So no matter where you're at, how hard you're locked up, how deep you're in the prison, and I'm talking about of sin and things of the world, that angel can be right where you are and you can be released. When I began reading this, you know, I thought about the prison and I wasn't there, but I imagine those prisons, you know, dark and damp and a bad place to be. And all of a sudden it said a light shined in the prison. Don't you believe that got everybody's attention around there when the light started shining? And when he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." Now, he didn't tell him, say, "Just tarry here 2 or 3 days, and then we'll get about this work of God." I thought so many times when he smote him on the side. Peter got a wake-up call. Y'all got that? Peter got a wake-up call from this angel. This power of God goes in, smote him on the side. In other words, said, "Get up quickly. I want you to get on about this. And so when we start doing things for God, we don't want to drag out or drag around about it. Let's get up quickly. And when he said when he got up, he said his chains fell off. I bet they rattled. Don't y'all think a bunch of chains would rattle? And when they fell off, and I got to thinking about last night. I couldn't sleep for this. I got thinking about today that the Lord Jesus took my chains off. I took me out of bondage, took me out of the prison of sin, and set me free. Amen. We sing that song. I know my name's recorded. I know my name's written, you know, and I could sing it from that day forward, but I can remember that day when the Lord set me free. St. John chapter 8 and verse 32, one of my favorite verses, it said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen? What set me free? The truth. What's the truth? The Lord Jesus. That's the truth. That's the plan for salvation. And I got set free one day from bondage of sin and the chains and the shackles that held me in an ungodly place. And I'm telling you, I appreciate it. There's a lot of times I guess people don't want to say much about it, but I think I need to tell the whole world. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You locked down and burdened with something in your life, the truth can set you free. Peter got a wake-up call that day. He had probably went along with it and said, "Well, I'm here and can't do nothing about it." Well, this is the situation. You know, Herod was authority at that time. You know, he is in charge. And I'm sure they was all thinking, "Well, I don't know what we can do to overcome the power of Herod." I'm going to tell you, when the church prayed and made their move, then God made his move and sent the angel down and going to set Peter free. He'll work in this church today and set somebody free. So anytime we're in this game today, I'm going to tell you, you know, Herod made his move with Peter and James. The church made their move. And then God made his move. And anytime during this time or during any time, don't matter what's going on, when it's your turn to move, make you move. Make you move. You know, I thought about this. You know, playing checkers, if you can get from your side of the board all the way down to across and to the other side of the board, you get a crown put on you. Y'all know that? You get crowned, right? Y'all, and then you're a king, right? God's already crowned. He ain't got to go nowhere. He's already crowned. He's already king. He'd move forward, backward, sideways, any way he wants to move because that's the power of God. In verse 8, it came with instructions, and the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And so the angel giving him instruction. He said, "Peter, get up." Smote him on the side. "Get up, rise up quickly." Said, "Get your sandals on, get your garment on, cast it about thee and follow me." And so we start looking and seeing this power of God came and set him free, and then it started to lead him. Amen. When that power of God starts in your life, I believe God will be leading you too. He'll lead you out of a lot of situations you've been in your life. In verse 10, "And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him." He got him free. He set him outside the prison. He took the chains off of him, and then he released him. He said the angel went away. Power of God didn't leave. It led him where he wanted him to be. And so Peter realized and finally came to the conclusion and said, "You know, this is not a dream. This is not a dream. This is truly the power of God working in my life." You know, we sometimes want to pass things off and say, "Oh, that just happened. Oh, this just was just an accident." I'm going to tell you, it's no accident you're here this morning, hearing this word of God, hearing this truth, because God wants you free. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You locked up in something? You held in prison? I'm telling you, what can you be free from? First of all, you can be free from the law. free from the law. I mean, you know, it said no flesh shall be justified by the law. So you ought to be praising God and shouting hallelujah that Jesus can set you free from the law. He'll give you grace. You know, that's what you're going to have. You have the law. You won't be under the law, you'll be under grace. And then it goes a little bit farther. Then he can set you free from sin. And what does sin entail? Brings forth death. So you can be freed this morning from eternal death. All these things God promises. And I believe some of us have to be smote in the side or knocked around, about the head a little bit to get our attention, because God wants you to know there's a freedom. In verse 11 it said, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And so here we are. Peter comes to the knowledge one and he said, now I know. He said, when he'd come to himself, he said, I've been delivered from the power of Herod because the power of God. Herod was supposed to be the honcho in that day and time, but he's nothing compared to God. There's nothing compared to the power of God. And when he started seeing it, he said, he delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And so he had been delivered. And so we start talking about delivery this morning, you know. We understand that Jesus, if he sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen. So when you start looking at this, I mean, people were really amazed with this. I'm going to read on in this just a little bit. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And so he found a prayer meeting. Amen. That wasn't just a coincidence. You know it? I believe God directed him that way. He came down there and he found a prayer meeting. He said, where many were gathered and praying. And so we get down to the church's move. They're still in there. They're still praying. They've made their move. Amen. And so here he is and he's found a prayer meeting. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And so she was excited. She didn't even open and let him in. She just heard his voice and recognized and went in and told him. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Now, here's the church that's praying. It's their move. Herod makes his move. The church makes their move. God makes their move. And now they're having a hard time believing it. If you're going to pray it, believe it. If you can't believe it, don't even waste your time praying it. We need to believe when we pray. When we make our move so that God may move, we need to believe this thing. Praying in faith. But he beckoned to them with his hand, told them to hold their peace. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. In other words, this brought astonishment to them. But he told them, just hold their peace. Hold their peace. And he started telling them how God had delivered him. I want you to know, delivering Peter out of that prison wasn't any different than from delivering you out of your prison of sin and your bondage and shackles that's holding and confining you. I'm telling you, that same power of God that was present in that prison that day or that night, and it said a light shined into the prison. I believe that shining light is still present here today, named Jesus. That light's here and it's present today. I want to look at one other place over here, if you'll turn with me a few pages over. In Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, and I'll start in verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Now, I want to stop in verse 17. You know, this is a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. In other words, we know that she was in contact with the devil, right? But even she could recognize these men of God. She didn't have any problems. She said, they're servants to the Most High God. That's how evident it is. When you become a servant to the Most High God, people ought to recognize you and say, that's a man or a woman or a child of God. And she did this many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And so after a certain time, she made her move. She followed him several days and made her move. And then Peter made his move. Paul made his move. And God made his move and took the Spirit out of her. So see, we're talking about the game of life going on. Paul made his move. She made her move. God made his move. And her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace into the rulers. I'm telling you what had happened? They messed with their money. Let's just get that plain. She is making them a lot of money. Paul and Silas messed with their money. You want to get in trouble? Mess with somebody's money. Amen? We all know that. Write your check out of their bank account and see if they don't get fuzzed up at you. You know, they'll get plumb upset. Well, that's what happened. That's why they drew them down to the marketplace. They drew them to the marketplace because they saw the hope of their gains were gone. They'd messed with their money. People won't put up with that. And they began to accuse them and said, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So here we go again, back to the prison. You know, that's a normal thing. And who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, here comes the point we need to always realize. I'm not going to tell you that we're always going to be free from the trouble of this world, you know, because that happens. Here's the magistrates, beat them, and then cast them down in the prison, put them on the inner prison, put their feet in stocks. In other words, he made his move. He made his move the best he could. The game of life, he made his move. Guess what? God's going to make his. God's going to make his move. And what stimulates God's movement? Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What motivated God to move? Paul and Silas's move, which was to pray and sing praises unto God. They didn't ask God for anything. They didn't say, God, come down here and set us free. God, take these stocks off our feet. Get us out of this prison. They didn't ask for anything. They just began to praise and sing praises to God and while they were praying. And so, look here now. Here's the magistrates made their move. Paul and Silas made their move, and God made his. You want to see God move? Continue to praise him, regardless of what situation you're in. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life. I don't know your minds. I don't know your heart. God knows everybody here. What's going on in your life. But I'm going to tell you, whatever you think the circumstances is, you need to keep praying and keep singing praise unto God. And it said, and the prisoners heard them. And so it was a testimony. Y'all got that? There's a testimony of the power of God took place right there in that prison that night. They heard Paul and Silas praying. They heard them singing praise. And so a testimony went out to, no doubt, a lost people. That motivated God in that situation. I believe our testimony will get God to make his move now. That, you know, in our lives, when it goes a little bit farther. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Y'all got that? The magistrate made his move. Paul and Silas made their move. God made his move. What was Paul and Silas' move? They prayed and sang praises unto God. They gave testimony of the power of God. You want to get God to move in your life? Give testimony to His power and His greatness and His goodness. All the doors fell open, sprang open. All the bands fell off. You want to be free? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Y'all got that? The Lord Jesus, that's the truth. And He shall make you free. You locked up in something you'd like to get out of? Sin, bondage, prison, whatever it might be, the sin that controls you, the lifestyle, habits that you have, you want to get out of it? God can get you out of it. He can set you free. I think I'm going to stop right there. We're going to sing a verse of a song. I want you to think about this Word of God. Most of the time when I talk about this checker game and we're talking about the game of life, I want you to think about this. Somebody made their move, then somebody else made their move, and it stimulated God and He made His move. I believe with all my heart here today, somebody's locked into something that you'd lock out of, some situation, something about life, some sin, something that's dominating you. If you want out of it, it's your move. It's your move. You want to be saved by the grace of God? You know, they sang that song a minute ago, "I know my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life." I hope everybody here can say that you know you're saved by the grace of God. That you can say, okay, I'm going to praise and I'm going to sing to Him regardless of what's taking place, whatever it might be. Everybody stand, we're going to sing a verse of a song when they get ready. It's your move. It's your move. Let's do this also. I'm going to open the doors of New Salem Baptist Church. Hadn't done this in a while, but we received members by letter, forthcoming letter, baptism, and certain circumstances by statement. Whatever your need would be, we can handle it with the help of God. And so if God's directed you to be part of this church, this might be the day you need to do it. I don't know. I don't know your mind. If you're not saved, no use to come to join the church. You've got to be saved before you join the church, you know. If you're not saved, the most important thing you could do right now was make your move. Make your move.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones,
church, pray that God has set somebody free today. If you're right with the Lord, pray for somebody else. Be very much in prayer. Your prayer can move God and He can make His move. There's a great need in this church for salvation. It's your turn. Make your move.
Cheers.
you ever went somewhere and just about the time you got there, they closed the door and said, "You're too late, we're closed"? Anybody ever done that? You know, happens to all of us sometimes. I want to tell you the good news. God don't close. God won't slam that door. He don't close. He'll be there anytime you come. So if you missed your move today, maybe you'll make it later today or tonight or whatever. I was saved in a potato field. Yeah. Now, I heard the word at church. Don't misunderstand. I heard the gospel preached at church, but I was saved in a potato field. That's where our conviction got so bad I couldn't stand it no more. Got off my track, made it right for the Lord. Never was the same. Different from then on. Amen. So that's the good news. God don't close. Now, I'm probably going to get in a big trouble about this, but I don't care. I'm not afraid of Teresa, and Kenny, I'm not married to her. Amen. Teresa had surgery on her face. Had to have a place cut out, and they had to cut deep. Several hours of surgery. Yeah, I guess some of y'all wondered, you know, it's a rare thing not to see Teresa here. That's where she's at. Sound like she's, somebody said it looked like she'd been punched. How's she look, Kenny? Okay. Well, I was going to make everybody aware of that so you can be praying for her. Okay? I don't know if she'd let you do anything in the world, but you can pray whether she likes it or not. Just, we'll pray for her. Okay? And if we could do anything, we'd be sure glad to. Amen. Anything else?